Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and today we've got two great guests. First hour, the Go-Go's will be joining us. Kathy Valentine of the pop rock group The Go-Go's will join me. The first hour, we'll talk about their new top 10 single, Club Zero, the reissuing of their greatest hits album, God Bless the Go-Go's, and the 20th anniversary of the new DVD documentary. Hour two, Vinny Appice of Black Sabbath fame will be talking about his time with the band and the 40th anniversary reissue of Black Sabbath's landmark Dio-era albums, Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules. It's all coming up on Midwest Beat. Stay with us. Go-Go's music coming up next. Don't you go-go anywhere. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom Lounges. Welcome to Midwest Beat. Today's show has Black Sabbath coming up on the second hour. We'll have drummer Vinny Appice joining us to talk about his time with the band and the 40th anniversary reissuing of the Sabbath landmark Dio-era albums Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules. We'll also talk to Vinny about some of the different projects he's involved in all these years later. Coming up first, though, we've got Kathy Valentine, bassist founding member of the legendary all-female band The Go-Go's, the most successful female band in rock and roll history. The Go-Go's are all in the news because they've got a new top 10 single called Club Zero, and it's also the 20th anniversary reissuing of their greatest hits album, God Bless the Go-Go's. We're going to play some songs from that. We're going to get Kathy on the phone and chit-chat a little bit about where the Go-Go's are now, where they've come from, and what might the future hold. But first, let's play a little tune. This is Stuck in My Car, because I was just stuck in my car. Go-Go's!
Somewhere something is happening.
Stuck in my car, Go-Go's music. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat. Thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio and NPR. I was just stuck in my car a little while ago getting here to the station, and I understand our guest is actually driving in her car. Kathy, are you with us?
Hi, I'm not exactly stuck, but I'm in my car.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're able to make it on the show today. I know we're limited on time, so I want to kind of jump into things. We have a lot of ground to cover. Go-Go's are all over the place right now. You guys have a new documentary, a new album coming out. You're up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, there's so many things to chat about. Let's start with the documentary, if you will. Two-disc DVD Blu-ray set. That is available now. I saw some clips of it in a seminar we had with Universal for the record stores. I own a couple of record stores, so Universal had a little seminar to kind of promote all the new things that were coming out. And I got to say that DVD is awesome. It's really, it kind of covers the whole ground, the gamut of what the Go-Go's are about.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about this documentary because it kind of celebrates the band in a way that I think we've been overlooked for many years. And somehow the like sensational parts got, so they overwhelmed all the good stuff. And I guess that's just what the thing is that sensationalized, it's all stuff that happens to every band. Yeah, we had arguments and yeah, we broke up sometimes and yeah, blah, blah, blah. But we also had great songs and had a great time and made music history in our accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. How involved were you guys in the making of the DVD, of the documentary?
Oh, well, we left it up to Allison Elwood, who's the director, who's a fantastic, accomplished, you know, director. She did the Eagles documentary. She's done the Laurel Canyon documentary. She's so good. So all we had to do was supply them with as much stuff as we could. Archival stuff. You know, back then we didn't have iPhones and video cameras everywhere. So
right.
We didn't have a lot of content other than, you know, what we could scrape together, like Polaroids and stuff. So we came up with what we could. And of course we were open to the interviews to being very forthcoming and honest. So that's what that was our contribution. And artistically, we left it up to the producers and the director to make what they thought would be compelling.
Now, the segments that I had seen in that seminar showed a lot of the live footage, which, of course, was fuzzy because it was back in the day when nobody had technology with them. Did that come from your personal archives from the ladies?
No, she found that. She found the old live stuff. We didn't own really anything in terms of concert footage.
Okay. So the DVD...
We supplied photographs.
Okay. So the DVD Blu-ray is now out, and how is it doing so far? I know it won all kinds of awards, and it got critically praised. It was at Sundance, and you've gotten some incredible reviews. How has it been doing as far as fan response?
I think fans love it, and I think it had a lot to do with our nomination into the Rock Hall of Fame, finally. I really think it had a lot to do with that.
What was it like to actually sit back and look back at your life, your career in music? How cathartic was that to sit back at this point in life and say, look what we accomplished, look what we did? And were there any really cringeworthy moments in there where you said, oh gosh, can't believe we did that?
Well, it was very emotional. I was excited to do this documentary just for the reasons I just talked about, like mm-hmm. to kind of really celebrate and shine a light and uplift us. But what I didn't expect was the healing and forgiveness between the band members. When we saw it, the premiere at Sundance, after it was over, there's just something about seeing everything condensed into like 90 minutes. And it just kind of pulled us together in a way that I wasn't expecting how profound it would feel and how healing it was. And we just kind of fell into each other's arms and like had this big group hug, and That was pretty awesome.
Now, you got a new single out, too. Club Zero is a new single. Does the love that's going around right now with the Go-Go's between each other, does that mean we're going to see more new material, maybe touring again or anything like that?
I hate to disappoint and say this, but I never rule anything out with the Go-Go's. This is the band that kind of seems to keep the gift that keeps giving. But it's very difficult. I mean, when we were young, we were all, you know, our energy, our focus, our drive, our passion, our determination, our ambition, they were all aligned and they were all pointed in the same direction. And that's a lot of energy that goes, you know, that's kind of what makes a band succeed in many ways, besides having great songs. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I mean, even writing that song, we live in 5 different cities. We literally are from Hawaii to San Francisco to Thailand to Texas. We are all over the place.
Wow.
And Los Angeles. So we were used to sitting down together and writing a song and doing it through like email and sending each other sound files. It was really hard, really hard. And I can't imagine doing a whole album that way. And I also can't imagine anybody going, oh yeah, I want to leave my home and my family and my pets and for months to go all be in one place. And it's just not where we're at now. So we do what we can. We're probably a frustrating band to be a fan of, but we do what we can, and it's not as much as it could be, but it's also, you know, we're in our 60s. We're not young 20-year-olds out there trying to make it.
Right. All right. Well, let's play the new song, which is Club Zero, and then we'll be back with you to talk a little bit more about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and some other things. So here's the new single from the Go-Go's, listeners, hearing it first here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Tick tock, tick tock.
New music, the Go-Go's. Listeners, you are invited into the VIP room of Club Zero with that one. Playing it for the first time here on this station. It's out there on Facebook. Not Facebook, but YouTube right now. Are you, Kathy, are you guys going to release that on the new reissuing of God Bless the Go-Go's on May 14th? Will that song be on there?
God Bless the Go-Go's, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that that is a reissue of an album that was very under, it was like not really recognized at the time, and we were always really proud of it. So this label wanted to reissue it on vinyl, and what we did was add a couple of bonus tracks to it. But I think what we're going to do is release Club Zero with the Beauty and the Beat reissue with a new artwork, and it'll be like the beginning all the way to the last thing we did. It'll be like a bonus song on that, and I'm not sure when that comes out. They're still working on it.
Okay.
But but we do have a couple of bonus tracks on God Bless the Go-Go's.
Yeah, I saw the King of Confusion, and I Think I Need Sleep will be on there. And I just heard about Club Zero, so I wasn't sure if you're going to tag that one on there or not. Didn't realize Beauty and the Beat was going to be reissued as well. So are you redoing the entire catalog?
No, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe it's a surprise.
Okay.
Zip.
Oh, well.
That's all right. Whatever.
Let's talk a little bit about the songwriting. One of the things that made the Go-Go's so unique is that you guys actually wrote 90% of your material. You had a few outside songwriters, but most of the time, like Vacation, you were one of the co-writers on that, along with Charlotte. How did the songwriting work within the Go-Go dynamic?
Well, I would say, number one, I would say we were writers on all of our material. We might have written with some other people, but we did one cover, which was Cool Jerk.
Right.
Everything else had a Go-Go on it. So I would say it was more like 95%. But
okay.
We had strong writers in the band, and we just did what other songwriters do. We share ideas, come up with stuff, show each other things. And it's kind of brutal because everybody has to like it.
Right.
Everybody has to like it. So when we come up with a song, like for Club Zero, we wrote a bunch of songs, and that was the one that went through that had the most people into it. So it's a little brutal because sometimes, you know, you don't always agree. People have different tastes in music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a little you write something and you think it's like, oh, this is so good, they're gonna love it, and then what you get back is like, I don't think so. It's pretty hard.
Right. With the video of the song we just heard, Club Zero, it's definitely socially distanced. You can tell you guys are apart making the video. And you mentioned the recording was done long distance as well. How difficult was that? Is that the first time you've worked that way?
Well, the writing was done completely long distance, but we all got together to record it, except we had to do it in two sections. We did the band first, and then once we had the track recorded, Belinda sang it.
Okay. So was this new song, was this done during the height of COVID, or did you have it completed prior to COVID?
It was prior. We wanted to have it for the documentary. That was the big inspiration, because otherwise the documentary, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that gets left out. You can't put everything in 90 minutes, and they
right.
didn't want to make a four-hour movie. So, you know, there's a lot of, it doesn't go a lot into the musical on Broadway. It doesn't go a lot into Head Over Heels, the other hit song that Charlotte and I wrote. But we really didn't want it to just be the past. We wanted to show, because a lot of people think we've just broken up and that we don't do anything. But the truth is, we have been touring and playing together almost every summer since pretty much, 95. A lot of people don't realize that because we're not like at the top of the charts or this and that. We just go out and play a few weeks in the summertime. And so we didn't want it to just the documentary to look like we didn't do anything together anymore.
Now, I know that that Belinda and Jane had solo albums out over the years. What have you been doing besides Go-Go's?
Oh, I have an amazing memoir that got huge critical response, and that came out right at the beginning of the pandemic, and that was such a drag because I was going to do a 25 city tour, but you know, it landed on the Rolling Stone Best Music Books of 2020 and Washington Post Best Nonfiction Books of 20. So I got a great response, but I did that. I did my memoir and a soundtrack that goes with it. I'm always in bands. I'm probably, you know, the most working musician of the band. I'm always playing in bands. And none of them are as successful as the Go-Go's, but I usually play guitar when I'm not in the Go-Go's. That was my first and main instrument. Okay. And just fun rock and roll bands. I live in Austin, Texas, so you can see us playing around. And I've released a couple of singles. I did a remake of the Go-Go's Beneath the Blue Sky, and I did it with my daughter, who's 18. So that was awesome. And I'm a student. I'm getting my college degree in May.
Good for you.
So I am, yeah, thank you. And I just got accepted into an MFA program because the memoir was awesome to write, but I kind of wrote it to pave the way for me being accepted as a writer. You know, like to show people I was a good writer and that I had a compelling, you know, voice on the page. And my real dream is to write novels and short stories. So anyway, busy.
Wow. When do you plan on taking up the, I guess you can't say pen to paper anymore, but when do you plan on sitting down and doing your first novel? Have you got a timetable?
I might do I really love doing the soundtrack to my memoir. I loved it. It was so interesting and cool to use a book as inspiration for music and to use all the skills that I've acquired as a songwriter, but also be really open because I'm expressing and interpreting prose. So I love that so much. It really interested me. I think my next thing I'd like to do is a collection of short stories with a song that goes with each one.
Okay. Any desire? Any desire to do like children's music or children's books?
Nah.
Okay. What you were going to say?
Oh, I don't remember.
So the book is out now. It's called All I Ever Wanted. Came out the end of last year on University of Texas Press. And is the soundtrack available? Is it out on your website, or how do we get it?
It's on all the digital outlets. My favorite is Bandcamp because I think it's the most artist-friendly. But it's available everywhere. And if you get the audio book on Hachette Audio, the soundtrack is woven in with my narration of the audiobook. And a lot of people have told me that I'm not an audiobook person myself, but a lot of people have told me that they really enjoy that.
Okay. We were talking about how God Bless the Go-Go's kind of got lost in the shuffle somehow. Do you think it's because it was on a different label? The previous albums were all on IRS, and of course IRS went bye-bye, and you picked up with Beyond Music. Do you think that maybe the marketing wasn't as strong behind that?
I think that, you know, Beyond was fairly new, but also I think, I don't really remember, but this is what I've heard from the other Go-Go's who paid. You know, I've got a really good memory, but it's selective. But apparently the 9/11 happened right after it came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that
it came out. Yeah, yeah. So I think that was an issue. And and I do think that, I mean, the label was mad because they, and it was also, it just wasn't our time. Sometimes it's just not your time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the music is funny. You can have everything. You can have a great band, great musicians, great songs, but there's still an element that you can't control, and it's timing and chemistry you can't really control. A band either has it or it doesn't. So in a weird way, I just think it wasn't our time. I think the label tried to, like, force it by, you know, releasing the first song was with Billy Joe Armstrong, Unforgiven, because it's like, oh, right on the success of Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that wasn't the right song at the right time. I mean, the our initial success, timing was such a big part of it, you know?
Right. Yeah, you guys came out right at the tail end of punk, beginning a new wave, and you kind of blended both elements in there along with mainstream rock and roll. It was a unique sound. There had been a lot of female fronted bands, a lot of female bands, and you guys kind of stepped up to the point. You were the pinnacle of the female rock movement, if you will, that led to some other stuff.
We had great songs, and we were very different. And, you know, a lot of people had not seen, you know, an all-female band. And we weren't trying to look like guy rock stars. We looked like the girl next door or women or just kind of people that weren't threatening and relatable, and yet we're rock stars. And the other thing that was incredible timing for us was it was the advent of MTV.
True.
So not only are we like on tour, working our butts off, going all over the country in a van, finally we've got a tour bus, but then for all the kids and the young girls that can't go to the nightclub, you know, in Atlanta or Detroit or wherever the heck they are, they can turn on their TV and we're being beamed into people's living rooms. And for a lot of young girls, it was really empowering and really represented a lot of possibility, which is one of my favorite things about having been a go-go. Because I've heard about that from a lot of people.
I understand, and it seems to make sense, that you guys are the most successful all-women band, correct, in the records?
I think so.
That's what I've heard repeatedly, that you guys have set the record and are the best-selling all-female band out there.
And I think the Bangles had a great career, too, but there's a little bit of a distinction in that we were before them, and also a lot of their hit songs came from, like, other writers.
Right.
But they're great songwriters, too. I think they're really good songwriters, but it just so happened, like, Walk Like an Egyptian, Manic Monday, some of those songs had, you know, outside writers. So, but I think just us coming first, but they're a great band too. But I thought, you know, Go-Go's, Bangles, I thought there would be so many all-female bands that, you know, that's what I would like to see. I would like to see, you know, you look at the landscape of rock bands, which seems to be shrinking more than expanding, but you see these guys with these long sustained careers, you know, whether it's Green Day or U2 or Foo Fighters or, you know, I don't know, I'm blanking now, but, you know, they're all guys. And I just would love to see more girl. It's just so much fun. It's like a sisterhood. It's like a cool sorority.
Very small. I like that. The only other band I can think of from that era, you mentioned the Bangles, was the Catholic Girls, were another one that came out. And they kind of got lost in the shuffle because I think their record label left, or the CEO left, or somebody, which always seems to be a big problem with a lot of bands that get a great start and then the members of the team shuffle and they get lost in the shuffle.
I've certainly a lot. I know I have a lot of friends in the music business, and that is a common story for sure.
One thing I want to talk about before we let you go, and that is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yay.
How did you hear you guys were nominated, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, I had a feeling, because some of the old guard, the gatekeepers, had shifted. And, you know, whoever was kind of not thinking we were deserving, you know, I think the balance tilted a little, and it's a big secret, like who's on the committee and this and that, but, you know, I've heard a little scuttlebutt about so-and-so doesn't think that we deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some shift in that, and also the documentary had, you know, we got so much press and a lot of accolades, and a lot of people didn't really know that this was a band that just came. I mean, it's very much like the way rock and roll should be. We came out of the street scene of LA, the punk scene, the clubs, and we were not put together by a mastermind, like the Monkees or something. And
well, the Runaways were kind of put together as well.
Yeah, and I love the Runaways, but we were very kind of organically happened and worked really, really hard. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. They just, I don't know. I don't think so. Seeing our story made a big difference, I think. And I found out, I heard the night before it was announced, someone said, I think you're going to be in for a surprise about the Rock Hall, which is like, oh, I wonder what that could be. I kind of knew it was going to happen the night before. And what I didn't expect was like, what a big deal it is. Like, I mean, my phone was exploding all day. Texts and my Twitter and my Instagram and all my social media was just like people like freaking out and excited and happy. And, you know, there's a lot of goodwill for this band. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't really, we're overlooked and dismissed in so many ways that I don't understand. But there's a lot of people that really have a lot of goodwill towards the Go-Go's and the era that we came from and what our music represents to them. And so it was fun. It was a fun day.
And another thing that sets you apart is the fact that the Bangles and the Runaways and everyone else, at some point they shifted some members. It's always been the five of you in the Go-Go's from the first hit to now. It's always been Jane, Kathy, Gina, Belinda, and Charlotte.
We're the classic lineup. We've had some kind of, you know, like every band, we've had our difficulties and falling outs and stuff. But when people think of the Go-Go's, we're the five that they think of.
Right. Is there anything, Kathy, that we haven't touched on you'd like to let people know?
No, I'm just like, my book's coming out, and I don't mean to just be me, but my book's coming out in paperback.
Excellent.
And I'm hoping to resurrect the book tour that I didn't get to do, because all through the pandemic, I've been doing a lot of online stuff, and I've gotten pretty good at figuring out how to do this. Like, I play some songs, I talk, it's really interactive, and I don't just sit there and read from my book and then say, okay, buy one, I'm going to sign it. You know, it's almost like these cool public appearances that I know that I can do. So I hope to get out there. The Go-Go's are supposed to go on tour, but I don't see how venues can be ready by the summer. I mean, I've got the time blocked off on my calendar. I'm working out, getting in shape for the tour, but I'm not positive it's really going to happen. It might not be until next summer, but hopefully between, you know, the Rock Hall of Fame, hopefully we'll get in. We find out in May, and a couple of re-releases with some fun stuff on it. Hopefully people will remember us.
Right. I want to remind people, too, that are Go-Go's fans, and I'm sure you are if you're listening, you can vote by going to vote.rockhall.com and cast your vote for the Go-Go's if you are so inclined. So get them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And with the book tour, that would be just you and a guitar when you're talking about performing? You could bring an accompaniment?
Mm-hmm. Nope, me and a guitar.
Excellent.
I don't even know if I'll bring a guitar. I'll probably just show up and ask somebody to bring one.
Excellent. Now, how will we find that out if you're going to do that? Is it going to be on the gogos.com? Because I don't see a separate website for you.
No. Oh, yeah. KathyValentine.com.
I
have an awesome website. I'm also all over, social media. And I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I love engaging with people. I'm not like I have my own. I don't have a social media person that does it for me. You know, I like the approachability and the leveling, like not having people up on a pedestal. So, people can follow me, or they don't have to follow. They can just reach out or whatever.
All right. And again, that's KathyValentine.com. I did just find that. I had some reason it didn't come up the first time. And then there's also, like I said, for the Go-Go's, you can follow the tour news at gogos.com as well. And probably on your site as well, you'll be posting all that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to keep up with everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like social media is easier because you just post it. Whereas like the website, you have to go in and you have to do all this stuff. And I don't have anyone doing that for me either. So anyway, I try. I do my best, but I'm a mom and a full-time student. So anyway. I try to keep it up great. You know, definitely for a tour, I'll have that on there. So,
right.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Vote.rockhall.com to vote. The Go-Go's into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, of course, KathyValentine.com, Go-Go's.com. And that's it. That's how you can keep up with everything. What would you like us to close with? What song might you want us to play for our listeners since the album didn't get its day in the sun originally? Let's play something off the God Bless the Go-Go's.
Oh, let's see. You played Stuck in My Car.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songs and a lot of fans' favorite songs is a song called Apology that was almost going to be a single.
Okay.
Before the promotion budget ran out.
All right.
Yeah, Apologies, awesome.
All right, well, we're going to do that. Kathy, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, I enjoyed it.
Best of luck in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'll be looking for you.
All right, bye. All right.
Bye-bye. Stay with us. Coming up in just a bit, Vinny Appice of Black Sabbath. But right now, let's enjoy some Go-Go's music. Dance around the room. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. That was a great interview. I enjoyed that. Kathy Valentine, bassist, co-founding member of the Go-Go's. Wow. Nice lady. Very nice lady. I've had the opportunity to interview a couple of the Go-Go's over the years, over my lengthy career, back in the heyday and now with Kathy. But in the past, I'd interviewed Jane Wheedlin and Charlotte Caffey as well. All of them have been very, very nice ladies, nice interviews, great musicians, great hits. Like Kathy was saying, they really had a lot of good hits, and they certainly do deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Who am I? Just an ordinary guy that happens to be a Go-Go's fan. So get on board and vote for the Go-Go's into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tell them Tom sent you. Go to vote.rockhall.com. And again, the Go-Go's are all over the news again. The new documentary, I should say the documentary, is now officially out. That you can find pretty much anywhere. It's a two-disc DVD Blu-ray. You can download it. You can buy it. You can stream it. They have a new single up on YouTube called Club Zero. And also that one and high-definition videos for other big songs like Our Lips Are Sealed, Vacation, We Got the Beat, Turn to You, Get Up and Go, Head Over Heels. All of those have recently been uploaded to their official Go-Go's YouTube channel. So check it out, because if you've never really experienced the Go-Go's, I agree with what Kathy was saying. This documentary really shows what they were all about. They were truly a unique band. Ladies on their own merit, wasn't put together by some Svengali. They came along at a time when it wasn't hugely popular for women to front rock bands or form rock bands. And they certainly took the world by storm to become the best-selling and most popular all-female band in history. So, all right. On May 14th, the song you just heard, Apology, one of the many tracks on God Bless the Go-Go's, will be reissued May 14th on blue vinyl. How cool is that? CD and digital. The CD and digital releases will also have two bonus tracks, I Think I Need Sleep and King of Confusion, as well as brand new artwork. So it's definitely worth checking out. Again, May 14th is the drop date for the Go-Go's. God Bless the Go-Go's. And again, they've been nominated for the 2021 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's been a terrible year for everybody. Let's make it a good year for them. All right, let's go back to a classic track. We mentioned it in the interview. It's one of those that Kathy Valentine, my guest, the bassist of the Go-Go's, co-wrote along with Charlotte Caffey. So let's play this one. It's one of my favorites from the old MTV days. You might remember the travelogue type video. It had them all water skiing, standing on each other's shoulders. Fun stuff. Let's take a little vacation because I think we need it after 2020. Here's the Go-Go's, classic stuff.
Stayed to
the Airbnb. We're going on vacation. That is the Go-Go's classic track, taking you back to their MTV era. Just having some fun with this music. It is summer music, and how can you not enjoy the Go-Go's? How can you not love the Go-Go's? If you haven't seen the documentary, again, I had a sneak preview of it recently at a seminar that we did with record stores. And I'm very excited the fact that God Bless the Go-Go's is coming out on vinyl, blue vinyl, no less. So I'm definitely going to be carrying that over at the Record Bin in Hobart, Michigan City. So stop in and see me, and we'll talk Go-Go stuff, and we'll play some tunes, and we'll dance around the aisles. Jose likes to do that. Not to the Go-Go's, though. He dances to some cool music. Anyway, Go-Go's music is different. We always think of them as being upbeat. I like that last song, and like Our Lips Are Sealed, and We Got the Beat, and all that. But they always take they're not a one-trick pony. They have a different sound. And Jose, you picked this song that you wanted to hear off this album. Tell us why you like this one.
Honestly, it kind of surprised me. I was like, wow, this is the Go-Go's? Like, it's definitely Go-Go's, but mm-hmm. It's more of, it's still fun, but it's more of like the evening sound. At least that's what I got from it. But.
The evening sound. I like that. Yeah, it's the Go-Go's evening sound. Talk lower.
You have your afternoon liquor and your evening liquor. You have your afternoon summer music. But then
this is like the after-dinner drink.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
All right, this one's coming at you again off God Bless the Go-Go's. It's coming out on May 14th on blue vinyl, CD, and digital. And this is Jose's pick. It's Daisy Chain.
Flowers bloom.
a little trippy there. Daisy Chain is that one. It's off God Bless the Go-Go's, an earlier album that, as Kathy mentioned, came out and kind of got lost in the shuffle shortly after 9/11. They were with a new label at the time, and things were kind of crazy in the world at that point, kind of like now. A little bit craziness, a lot of cray-cray going on in there. And sometimes the music is all we have to find solace in. And if you want to have a good time and you're gearing up for summer, who better to give you the soundtrack than the Go-Go's? That's a little different style with the Go-Go's. Like Jose said, it's the evening hour Go-Go's. When you sit back with a glass of Cavassier or something, put your feet up and get into the groove. A little sunset music. All right, let's give you one more classic Go-Go's, and then we're going to get on the horn with a different style of music, Black Sabbath. Who doesn't love Black Sabbath? And, of course, there's always that debate, kind of like with Van Halen. Did you like David Lee or Sammy Hagar? Well, that's kind of the debate with Black Sabbath. There's Ozzy, and then there's Dio. I like both, as most Black Sabbath fans do, but I was always partial. Nothing against Oz, but I was always partial to Dio. Maybe it's the fact that I had a chance to interview him a few times, and I had a chance to meet him and hang out with him, and he was just an incredible guy. In fact, I guess we're going to have Wendy Dio, his widow, back on the show. She's been on here a few times. I guess she's got some new stuff to talk about, so maybe in this later spring or early summer we'll get Wendy back on. But coming up in just a few minutes, we will have the incredible Mr. Vinnie Appice, member of Black Sabbath, brother of Carmine Appice. And we'll explain why they pronounce their names different, I'm sure. I've had Vinny on the show in the past, and he's just a trip. He's a great guy. And we'll talk about all of that stuff. But first, let's give you that final Go-Go's, that summer song, and then we'll get into some heavier sludge metal of Black Sabbath. This is the Go-Go's, a final time, Sealing Their Lips, because, it's a secret. Written by Jane Wheedlin. It's a classic track going back to the MTV days. The final Go-Go's song of the show. All right, raise your hand if you remember dancing around the room to that one during the MTV days. Fun stuff. Love the Go-Go's.